You're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. In the French Quarter of New Orleans, there's a tiny venue with old wooden floors where on a good night, you can cram in about 100 people. The audience sits right up in front of the band, and it's so intimate that the musicians don't need mics or amps. It's a truly magical place where the spirit of New Orleans jazz is not only alive, but evolving. It's called Preservation Hall, and it's home to our guests, the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. The venue, as a concert space, and the band were born in the early 60s, thanks to Alan and Sandra Jaffe, who moved to New Orleans from Pennsylvania. Over the past half century, the band has seen dozens of members from different generations come and go. They're now led by the Jaffe's son, Ben. He co-wrote Preservation Hall Jazz Band's new record, So It Is, with the ranking senior member of the band, clarinet and saxophone player Charlie Gabriel. He's a fourth-generation New Orleans musician. He's in his 80s. But don't be fooled by the history. This is a band that propels tradition forward. To make their new album, they tapped rock and roll producer Dave Siddick of the band TV on the Radio, and they drew musical influence from a recent trip to Cuba. Now, not your usual tourist trip through Cuba, but the kind of inside track experience you get when you know a guy who knows a guy. When they showed up at the World Cafe Studios, Preservation Hall Jazz Band had in tow three horns, an upright bass, keys, and a whole lot of drums and percussion. We can only assume they arrived here from New Orleans by way of marching in a second line parade. They start us off with a live performance of their new song, Santiago. We'll be right back. Get out. Get out of here, everybody. Go home. You're listening to the World Cafe, and that was a live performance by the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. And I don't want people listening to this on the radio to take for granted the fact that every single sound they just heard was made by six live musicians in a studio, because it's just like, it's really, that's mind-melting. So welcome.
Special.
Welcome
Thank
back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. And yeah, it's amazing to get to make music with these incredible musicians every day. Yeah, it's a real blessing.
No kidding. So Ben Jaffe, you're the band leader, but will you run down the names of all the musicians that you've got here with you?
Sure. Back there we have Mr. Ron L. Johnson on the trombone. And interesting story about Ron L. His great uncle, Joseph Butler, played bass with my dad in one of the original versions of this band.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, over 50 years ago. And on trumpet over there, we have Mr. Brandon Lewis on the trumpet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Clint Majan on the saxophone. And hiding over there in the corner, let's see where he's at. That's Mr. Carl Roussel over there. And there's behind the drums over there, that's the tank. That's Mr. Walter Harris back there playing the drums. And of course, yeah, Ben Jaffe over here on the bass.
Yeah. So the song you just played us, Santiago, off your new record called So It Is. And Cuba is a huge part of the inspiration for this record. So I've heard, so I've read, and so we can tell from the title, Santiago. Tell me a little bit about the trip that you all took there, or how you found yourselves being inspired in Cuba.
We've wanted to go for a long time, you know. And it just hasn't been a possibility. We were invited through a network of friends of ours who've been going to Cuba over the years to perform at the Havana Jazz Festival. And we kind of, you know, spent that year preparing ourselves musically, getting ready for it.
Like, what would you do? Listening to music that came from
there?
Yeah,
well, actually, one of the things we did for a long time was we would get together and just play percussion and just get a groove, like find a pocket, and then just play percussion for hours. And that went on for months.
Okay, we're in a room together and we've got mics and instruments, so I'm wondering if I can ask you to demonstrate some of your percussion practice for that trip to Cuba. Would you do that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Like, let's break it down for people and maybe tell me before we hear, like, Walter, maybe you can tell me this. Tell me a little bit about how you think about playing percussion that has, like, an Afro-Cuban root more so than a traditional jazz root.
Basically, all of it has come from the same root, which is a African root, and the Cubans base it up off a clave.
So will you what's a clave rhythm? Give it to me.
Like speed it up.
That was so cool.
Yeah, take that one. Like take it like twice as fast. Like.
Yes. Thank you for that. So you did this this clave preparation for your trip to Cuba together.
Yes.
And you get there, and then how did it change you? What did you come back with that you didn't walk in with?
Well, it's one of those things where you know, but you don't know specifically what's going to happen. You know that there's this deep long history between Cuba and New Orleans that's, you know, goes back 300 years and kind of ended with the embargo. But we've been trade partners for, you know, hundreds of years. So there's been this, you know, export and import of Cuban and New Orleans culture to both ports. Going there was, I felt like, you know, meeting family, just sort of long lost musical family.
Okay, I want to hear you play another song. And one of the amazing things that you guys do, I mean, most of this album, except for the last song, except for Mad, of original material is instrumental, but you tell stories in instrumental form. So tell me about the story or the theme or the vision of the song that we're going to hear next.
We're going to play Malanga.
Yeah.
And this is a root vegetable that they eat in Cuba and in the Dominican Republic. It's almost like a yam. And they make like a mash out of it that's, you know, they eat it the same way we eat mashed potatoes here. It's kind of served with everything, like yucca.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's in that same family of vegetables. And this song was actually co-written by a friend of ours, Tal Seeger, when he was living in New Orleans. And he grew up in, spent some time in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and Central America growing up. And this is a song that, you know, just, yeah, kind of brought all of that together.
Great. Let's hear it. This is Preservation Hall Jazz Band live at the World Cafe. Preservation Hall Jazz Band live at the World Cafe with the song La Malagna off their new record, So It Is. You know what I was thinking the entire time you were playing that song? I was thinking that sounds like a mashed root vegetable. No, I'm just kidding. That
well,
is...
Okay, so you want the whole story?
Yeah, I want the story.
Want
come
the whole
on.
Story?
Yeah,
okay.
That won't do. Yeah.
So the Malanga is a... it's also a term that they use... it has a double meaning.
Okay.
Yeah. And it has to do with, I guess you can say genitalia on radio, right?
Sure.
Male genitalia.
That is a technical word.
It is.
I think I'm looking at my producer, John, and he just looks, yep, he's nodding.
It's
yep,
okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Yeah. He's sort of like had a shell-shocked face on for a minute, and then he nodded. There we go. Yeah. Yep, we good.
So, yeah, it's not just a vegetable. It's, yeah, it's this other...
Yep.
My mom's going to hear this now. I'm never going to hear the end of this.
but there's a bravado to it is what we're saying.
You know, what happened was when we started working on the record, we were talking about what we wanted the record to achieve, you know, not just be original compositions, but to like what was it that we do in New Orleans?
Yeah.
And one of the things that our music does is it makes you move. You know, that there's something infectious about it. In New Orleans, I mean, dance is a big part of music. One doesn't really exist without the other. You know, most of us, you know, grew up in second line culture in New Orleans, which are these parades that take place as part of our social aid and pleasure clubs, which are these organizations, these neighborhood organizations that sponsor a parade every weekend. So every Sunday in New Orleans, there's a parade somewhere in town. You might not know where it's at. You have to kind of know where these things are taking place.
You have to
place.
Know Ben. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You got to know one. We'll take you there, exactly.
Okay.
And you'll go there and people are marching in the parade with the band. So you'll have the members of the club marching first, and you'll have the band marching, and then you'll have what we call the second line, which are all the spectators, not standing on the side of the street, but actually following the parade through the neighborhood. And that's what we're used to, like this forward motion to music, because you're moving down the street as you're playing. So it has to make people want to move forward, not just dance in place, but you're actually moving.
Wow.
Yeah. It's particular to New Orleans. When we went to Cuba, we encountered a culture, a tradition in Santiago of these congas, which are these neighborhood organizations, just like social aid and pleasure clubs. And the bands that accompany them are percussion ensembles, like 12 to 18 piece percussion ensembles with dancers. And it was exactly like being home in New Orleans, where they parade through the neighborhood and everybody parades along with them. So the people that start the parade are the same people there when you finish the parade. Yeah,
wow.
So it's just like a 3-hour parade street party that moves through the neighborhood. I also just believe that you grow up with this. I mean, we experienced this in Cuba. Was really one of the few places besides New Orleans where I've experienced this, was seeing people of all ages, from children to grandparents, all out doing the same thing, experiencing the same music. And kids, everybody, I mean, kids, 2, 3, 4 years, as soon as they could walk, they're dancing. And that felt, very similar to New Orleans, where at a very young age, you notice that there's something very special about New Orleans, and about the rhythm of the city that's just passed on, in the womb.
Yeah. So a lot of the album, So It Is, your latest album, Preservation Hall Jazz Band, when I listen to it, I hear live off the floor. This is not a constructed record that was made in a studio or in a computer or in a file. And I know that that's the way that you recorded it, and you worked with Dave Siddick. TV on the Radio is his rock and roll band. Why did you use a rock and roll producer to make a Preservation Hall Jazz Band record?
I'm more amazed that Dave makes rock and roll. That's... Do you know? I mean...
Why is that?
I mean, I've gotten to know him over the last few years. I always kind of knew, his musical background and his musical tastes and what worlds he came from and the worlds that he's attracted to. And it fit perfectly into us, you know, what we do and what we're exploring in the roots of New Orleans music.
Had he been there before? Had he been to New Orleans before?
He had been to New Orleans, but it had been in sort of like altered TV on the radio states of mind, you know, never to like really sink into what it is we do.
Yeah.
And that was also something that like let me know that he was the right guy for the job, is because he didn't say yes immediately for it. He was like, let me talk to these guys, let me get to know them better, let me see what kind of album they want to make, and let's make sure that we're like talking the same language before we go, you know, spend 6 months of our lives together doing this thing. Like, let's figure out where we are in our headspace. Where's our headspace? You know, where's our heart?
You know? Yeah.
You know, so that was a beautiful thing. And one of the first things I did when Dave came to New Orleans was bring him to a Second Line. You know, he hadn't been to one. I was like, this is the energy I want to capture. We didn't even talk about music. We were just talking about energy. And as soon as he saw it and like got out of the car and like we marched behind the band for a while, he was like, bing, you know, this lightning bolt went off, and he said, okay, got it. Okay. I got the energy. I got it. Just felt it. Okay. Wow. We got to figure out how to put that onto tape.
Wow.
Yeah.
He also said that he thought about it as a punk record.
Oh yeah, we knew from day one. Well, I mean, jazz is punk. I mean, if you go back, you know, if you go back to its origins, you know, it existed on sort of the fringes of society. You know, it wasn't like widely accepted as the way it is today. In New Orleans, we had brass bands that played spiritual music that were sort of related to different churches, and they would play at funerals and at parades, but it was always like spiritual-based music, which is a big part of the music that we play and grew up with. There was also this other tradition that Jelly Roll Morton sort of came out of, which was, you know, existed sort of in the darker shadows of New Orleans, in the Storyville district, in the French Quarter, was looked down upon, you know, by some as, you know, the devil's music. And so, you know, it's interesting to look back now, you know, 100+ years, and think of jazz as the devil's music. You know, they were writing about it in newspapers as this was the music that was corrupting the youth of America, and, you know.
Wow.
And that's kind of how they talked about the Sex Pistols, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really only been, you know, fairly recently that jazz has been like widely accepted, you know, the way that it has been as sort of this, you know, national art form.
Yeah.
You know, Preservation Hall had a lot to do with that.
Well, so there's a huge legacy. There's a really long legacy to what you do, and to including the name Preservation Hall in your band name. And then you're really pushing the boundaries on this record, on So It Is, and on the last one too, with original material and using rock record producers. So how do you sort of think about what you're doing and taking this legacy and sort of running with it?
You know, that's something that we're figuring out as we do it, you know, as we move through this. You know, 2 years ago, we didn't, you know, we couldn't have imagined that this was the album or the direction that the band was going. What Preservation Hall has always been is a reflection of the musicians who were playing there at that time. Mm. And when my parents, you know, got it established in 61, you know, that collective of people included, you know, Billy and Dee Dee Pierce and Sweet Emma Barrett and William Percy Humphrey and Kid Chic and Kid Thomas and Punch Miller and George Lewis. Those were the musicians that were alive at that time, and that, you know, they wanted to capture that moment of those musicians. And as those musicians passed on and transitioned in life, you know, another group of musicians, you know, in New Orleans fashion, were there to you know, take over their chairs. And this is really the first time where we've had a group of musicians that, you know, are ready to leave their own mark on this tradition.
I want to come back and talk about some of that Preservation Hall history, but first let's hear you play a song off the new album. What's it going to be?
Yeah, there's a city in Cuba called Cienfuegos, which was founded by families from New Orleans that left New Orleans in protest over the Louisiana Purchase. So they moved to Cuba.
For people who don't know what that is.
The Louisiana Purchase.
Mm-hmm.
France sells Louisiana to the United States of America, and these French families pack up and leave and move to Cuba in protest. And they find this bay that resembles New Orleans. And because of the water and the way that the sun hits the water, it looks like fires. So they call the city Cienfuegos, which is 100 fires.
Ben Jaffe, you're essentially a history book author. That was perfect.
I have no idea if any of that was accurate.
Anyway, nobody's fact-checking. This is Preservation Hall Jazz Band live at the World Cafe.
Thank you.
Live at the World Cafe, Preservation Hall Jazz Band with 100 Fires. Knocked the wind out of everybody in the room off their latest record called So It Is. Ben Jaffe is the band leader, and we're talking today. But while I've got the guys here, can I ask for a couple of horn-like demonstrations? Can I ask for a couple of questions?
Absolutely.
Because there's some incredible work going on there. First of all, Ronell sort of holding up what looks like the end of a plunger against the tuba. to make
trombone.
That like, or sorry, the trombone, sorry, to make that wah-wah sound that we're yes. hearing. Can you tell me, like, can you describe for people what you're holding up, what's going on there on the trombone and what we're hearing?
Yeah, it's an actual toilet plunger.
It is?
It really,
it really
is.
It's called a plunger, yeah.
Yes, it's
it
a plunger. I think that's one of those things that probably started in New Orleans as well, because when we're playing at Preservation Hall all around the world, musicians who've been playing for years come up and ask, excuse me, what is that you have there? And I say, it's a plunger. They said, really? It's an actual plunger? And my response is always the same. You can go to a music store and pay $90 for some little contraction, or you could go to Walgreens, $1.88, you know? And it actually works so much better, you know? It's old school, exactly.
Okay, will you make a sound for me without the plunger and then give me a show sure. me what the plunger does here? Let's really plunge this
okay.
trombone.
So I'll play a little song like this.
Okay.
But if you add the plunger in it, it just adds a whole dimension.
Oh my God,
an attitude and everything. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like. Whoop, there it is.
Thank you so much for that, Ronell. Thanks for that. It has a whole personality to it.
It does. It
oh,
does.
Man. You're listening to the World Cafe. My guests are Preservation Hall Jazz Band. Ben Jaffe heads up this ensemble. And, you know, this is in your blood, Preservation Hall. So for people who are hearing of that place, the place that your band is named after for the very first time, would you tell me a little bit about what Preservation Hall is?
Yes, it's a physical building in the heart of the French Quarter of New Orleans, just two blocks from Jackson Square, three blocks from the Mississippi River. It's a very intimate venue where we play when we're back home in New Orleans. That's our stomping grounds when we go home. It only fits about 60 to 70 people. You know, it's like a few wooden benches. The first two rows are cushions that are on the floor. So people are actually sitting on the floor right at your feet. Mm-hmm. It's really nothing quite like it. I mean, again, it's kind of like having a mosh pit just like right there, like a jazz pit, mosh pit right there. You know what I mean? I mean, people's feet are like right up against your feet. Like, you know, when you're they can feel the air coming off your horns, yes. You know, there's no microphones. So you're really getting this beautiful, experience where you're actually hearing the natural sound of the instruments in this, you know, very small wood room that was, you know, feels like it was designed specifically for this, but it was, you know, built, you know, originally over 300 years ago. So,
So it wasn't a music space really until your parents.
When my parents came to New Orleans for the first time, the space was an art gallery, and there had been an art gallery there since the 50s, and it was designed so people could come in and watch artists working. So it was a studio that you could visit and watch artists working, maybe even, you know, have a portrait done. A few years into that, they started having jam sessions at the hall, but they called them rehearsals because it wasn't licensed to have music. And what they would do is they would just pass a basket around and raise, you know, tip the band out for playing. That was their way around, you know, having to actually have a permit at the time.
Right.
And also, you know, New Orleans at the time was under Jim Crow. It was part of the, you know, Jim Crow South. And it was, you know, not just frowned upon, but it was, you know, on the books as being illegal for blacks and whites to socialize. So that was, you know, a world that my parents came into in 61, sort of at the height of the civil rights, you know, movement. So Preservation Hall really broke down a lot of those walls, you know, through music. And they created, opened Preservation Hall in 61, and it was the first, you know, open music venue in the South.
Did your parents get in trouble for that ever?
Often.
Oh.
Yeah.
What would happen?
I mean, it was unbelievable, but there was a night judge that lived across the street, and I think my mom told me that the guy's name was Judge Babylon.
Whoa.
Of all things. Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. And he pulled my parents in all the time. You know, whenever things got a little too rowdy, or it was getting too much press, or just, you know, it was never, nothing ever serious happened to them, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't, what they were doing wasn't filled with, like, you know, some fear and threat of violence, or, you know, it was brave and courageous at a time when, you know, outside of New Orleans, you know, people were paying, you know, with their lives for what they were doing, you know, in New Orleans. Because the music that was being created and what my parents' mission was to protect this living tradition, this living and breathing cultural tradition, it received quite a bit of national and international attention very quickly. And that was partly due to people like Pete Seeger and like the Newport Folk Festival and Alan Lomax and people who recognized that there was something special happening at this place. And it was a little bit of a sleight of hand. They were able to you know, direct people to this, that they were, you know, protecting this thing that could possibly disappear and not even having to deal with the, you know, the racial issues.
Did they ever tell you what they said, like, before the night judge when they appeared? Like, what do you say, Mr. and Mrs. Jaffe, about what this is?
You know, my parents, they handled it. They were really cool about it, the way that they handled themselves. They were from Pennsylvania. You know, my mom's from Philadelphia. My dad's from Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And my dad actually went to Penn.
Why'd they settle in New Orleans?
Oh, because, I mean, there's only a couple places you could settle. You know, I mean, you could maybe at that time maybe go to like the Village in New York and kind of get into the folk scene there, or maybe go to like North Beach in San Francisco and get into like, you know, the City Lights, kind of like, you know, Cafe Trieste scene out there, or, you know, end up in New Orleans in the French Quarter. So, you know, my dad was a tuba player, so there aren't that many opportunities for tuba players outside of New Orleans. If you're not playing symphonic music, you know, you might go into a military band situation. But in New Orleans, I mean, the tuba is something that's alive and well. You know, people play there's got to be like, I don't know, like maybe 40 professional tuba players that, you know, play jazz in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous, you know?
I mean, that sounds like a high ratio relative to the rest of the population or other places. Yeah. Let's hear you play some more music, okay? Yeah?
We're going to go out on this one.
We got one more song here with Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
I've talked about this one a lot. This is a song called Mad.
Uh-huh.
It's, I don't know down in New Orleans, if you're talking to somebody, they might say, I ain't mad at you.
Uh-huh.
Do they say that up here?
Yeah, I'm not mad at you. Yeah.
I am mad at you.
Okay.
Like down in New Orleans, it's almost like, it's kind of like it can be something small.
I'm not mad at you. I don't feel upset with you. I ain't mad at you. Okay. I am mad at you. Okay. Explain though. Sorry.
But then, I was just saying like, I mean, you know, it can be like something, I forgot the sugar with your coffee. Oh, don't worry. I ain't mad at you. Or it can be like, you know, also a metaphor for something bigger, which is just this power of forgiveness, you know, just to be able to forgive. And we've really been focusing on that, especially traveling all over the country. Like the thing that we all have this incredible power inside of us to forgive. And it's just finding like the will to do that. And so we've been going for that.
Amen. All right. This is Preservation Hall Jazz Band live at the World Cafe.
La, 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 la. La 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 la.
Mad at you, Preservation Hall Jazz Band. I am mad at you at all. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys, this has been such a treat. Ben, Walter, Kyle, Ronnell, Brandon, and Clint, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Preservation Hall Jazz Band's latest record is called So It Is. I'm Talia Schlanger. You're listening to The World Cafe.